Good morning. It's August 9th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream our service this morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer providing us with music on the organ and Robin Buser singing our hymn this morning. Heather Hicks will be assisting in the service and also providing an especially for children, which we will do right after the service this morning. Following the service, we invite you to our Zoom coffee hour. That'll start shortly after the service ends. You can join with your fellow worshipers electronically. There is a link on the Facebook page that you're looking at for you to connect up. The flowers today are given by Denver and Mary Jane Santee in honor of their children and grandchildren. Everyone is invited to our church picnic today, which is at 5:30 out on the church lawn. You're asked to bring everything that you will need for a picnic: food, beverage, chairs, blankets, all those things. The church will provide the lawn and access to the restrooms. Masks will need to be worn and when you're not eating, and social distancing maintained. Todd and Kim Wise will be providing entertainment along with a presentation by Holly Harvey. And if you want, you're welcome to picnic from your car in the church parking lot. We have a ladies' night on Zoom coming up, actually two nights, Thursday, August 13th at 7 p.m. and Tuesday, August 18th at 7 p.m. Heather Hicks will be hosting these Zoom ladies' nights. You're invited to bring your favorite beverage and prepare to have some fun as ladies fellowship together and possibly play some virtual games. Please choose a night and contact Heather by this evening so she can get it all lined out. Speaking of dining out together, the Dine Out group will dine in again this month on Friday, August 14th. Grab a meal at home, then join the Zoom gathering to share the time with your friends. Contact Bob Place or the church office for more information. Our Sunday adult library class has resumed, but it is now meeting on Mondays at 3 p.m. Via Zoom. Contact Tom Gennard or the church office for more information. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Thank you.
Good morning. Let us be called to worship. Let us worship the Lord. God is our righteous God, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on God. God is great and does wondrous things. God is good and forgiving. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God helps and comforts us, especially in our time of trial. Let us come together this morning. Let us come and worship the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, in this precious moment, we pause and come together to praise your name, to confess our sins, to hear your word. In doing so, we take a break from our daily responsibilities, our work, our chores. We come from our fears that overwhelm and from our ambitions that are too strong. We come to find Sabbath rest for our bodies and our souls. Free us in these moments from every distraction, that we may focus on you and on your word for us this day, that we may hear and that we may change. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Let us listen to the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home. And when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The second scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. The word of God, thanks be to the Lord.
Thank you, Robin. Heather. A third reading this morning, this one from the New Testament book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the 43rd verse. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and their goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent as much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these verses from the Holy Scripture, and as we reflect upon them this morning, we ask that your Spirit work amongst us so that your truth will emerge. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In this passage that I read from the book of Acts, we have the earliest description of life in the church. Jesus has been crucified, he has risen from the grave, he has ascended into heaven, the Spirit has come upon the apostles at Pentecost, and hundreds, even thousands, were being converted to this new Christian faith. And this little snapshot we have in the book of Acts shows us these new converts as they slowly try to figure out how to make their way in the world that for them has suddenly changed. They are gradually figuring out how to be the church of Jesus Christ now that their founder is gone. The pandemic crisis that has upended all our lives, and it has also upended the life of the church. And now we are in the process of trying to figure out what the church is and what the church will be in this new and unfamiliar world we now inhabit. And it's not an easy thing to do. Like the first Christians in that early church, we are trying to figure it out as we go. J. Herbert Nelson, stated clerk of our denomination, said at the General Assembly back in June, that we are building the airplane while we are flying it. He was speaking about our virtual General Assembly, but his words are true for the churches as well. All the churches are building the airplane while trying to fly it. Certainly that seems to be what we are doing here at First Presbyterian as we try to figure out how to be the Church of Jesus Christ in today's unfamiliar world. For me, the blueprints of what our church might possibly be are going to be found by looking at the roots of our own denomination. Specifically, I went looking at what are known as the great ends of the church. The great ends were developed by our denomination over 100 years ago to be a broad statement of purpose and mission for the Presbyterian Church as a whole and for individual churches. They have withstood the test of time, and now, as we are rethinking and relearning what it means to be the church, they seem like the proper foundation upon which to build this new dynamic of the Church of Jesus Christ. The great ends of the church, there are six of them. They are the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. Former director of theology for the Presbyterian Church, Joseph Small, said that the great ends of the church were more like, in his words, expressions of hope rather than a description of reality. And so with that caveat in mind, I thought we would explore the great ends together with the hope that through them we might find a path for our church as we transverse this pandemic world. Last week, I explored the first great end, the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. This week, I thought we'd take a look at the second, which is the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. When I started reflecting on this particular great end, I was struck by the imagery of the statement, and it reminded me of a story told by Christian writer Anne Lamott. She told the story of a 7-year-old girl who got lost one day. She writes, "The little girl ran up and down the streets of the town where she lived, but she couldn't find a single landmark. She was very frightened. Finally, a policeman stopped her, and he put her in the passenger seat of his car, and they drove around until she finally saw her church. And she pointed it out to the policeman and then told him firmly, 'You can let me out now. This is my church. I can always find my way home from here.'" And Lamott says that is how she feels about her church. "This is my church, and I can find my way home from here." The imagery of the second great end of the church is one of shelter, protection, nurture, caring, fellowship, and companionship. Images of home. And I think for most of us, there is something comforting about home, something reassuring. Home is solid, dependable, supportive, safe. No matter where you may be, you can always go home. At least that's what they say. Churches easily take that role of being a home. Church is a spiritual home for the people of God. The second great end speaks to that purpose, that the purpose of the church is to shelter. I think of shelters on the backpacking trail, a lean-to built there so that as hikers on the trail have a place to stay, a safe place, a shelter out of the weather. I think of homeless shelters, a home-like place for those who have no home. When I hear the word shelter, I think of storm shelters, places for protection from the world, particularly when it is turbulent. And within that homey place, we are nurtured and have the fellowship of our other fellow travelers. It is no wonder that people speak of the church buildings as their church home. The building is where the community gathers, where the faith is helped to grow, where friends meet, where one is safe from the world for at least a little while. But then that image of the church as a safe home every once in a while is destroyed. Such as when the church suffers from a fire, or when the church is destroyed by a storm. Then the community is bereft, homeless, and wondering what to do next. And yet it is in those moments, those churches that have suffered the loss of their building, that the community of faith also discovers the deeper meaning of home and faith. Christian educator Lib Caldwell wrote that her friend called her one night to tell her that her friend's church had burned down. But the friend said, "Lib, I remember burning churches. You can burn a building, but you cannot burn a church." Most of us would say that the church is not the building, but the truth of these words is only revealed when that reality is forced upon a congregation. Then the church must figure out what it means to be the church. Our passage from Isaiah might be helpful here. This passage was written when the Israelites had been taken into captivity in Babylon, removed from their home in Jerusalem, exiled from the temple where they had worshiped their God for centuries. The Israelites must have wondered where God was or perhaps thought that God was back there at the temple while they were there stuck in Babylon. And so they would ask the question, where was the one who promised them that I will be your God and you will be my people? Where was the one who had promised to love them with steadfast love? The passage from Isaiah that Heather read reminds God's children that God is not absent, even though the shelter of their homes, their city, their community, and their temple is gone. God is present with them in the water and the fire. Because you are precious in my sight, and I love you, the prophet writes. The Israelites had to discover that their relationship with God in a new way. And with this new relationship came a new and powerful dynamic. God was not only found in the temple, but God was found wherever the people were looking for God. The image of home as a noun needed to be reworked into an image of home as a verb. Words like homemaking and homesteading come to mind. The home for God became not a place, but an activity. Christian writer Sharon Delos Parks speaks of the church not as a home, but as a place for homemaking and homesteading. She writes, homemaking and homesteading are activities which build space where souls can thrive and dream, secure, protected, related, nourished, and whole. The church is not a home, but a place where we learn to make a home for our faith. Remember the story from Anne Lamott? The child didn't say the church was her home. The child said, from the church I can find my home. Making a home for faith requires both the intention of space for God, for listening and responding, and for action. And now in the midst of this pandemic, we are all feeling adrift, cut off from our spiritual home, and like the Israelites, we are learning that God is present with us wherever we may be. As the prophet writes in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And in reading those words, I wondered if another line could be added. And when the pandemic isolates you, I am there to reconnect you. This pandemic has given all of us the task of making a home for faith. It is forcing us to be intentional about making a time and a place for God in our lives, for listening to what God is saying to us and responding in ways that will bring hope to our neighbors, to those in our church, to our community, and to the world. And we are all doing this under the shelter of God, under a canopy of faith that stretches over each of us just as surely as the dome of this sanctuary covers our church. As Lib Caldwell writes, faith in God is truly a shelter that never collapses. Amen.
Mama.
come together in prayer this morning, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of our prayers this morning. That includes Alvin Lee, who continues to be in a great deal of pain after his fall a few weeks ago. Suze Uss asked for prayers for her mother, who fell this week and required surgery. We have heard news that former assistant pastor here at First Presbyterian John Stoll is now in hospice care. John Davis's sister Lois is in need of prayers, as she is just getting out of the hospital this week and will be continuing her recovery. We hold Elaine Russell in her prayers as her father is under hospice care. Adele Wright asked for prayers for her father, who is suffering from cancer, and Mary Bricker asked for prayers for her father, who is home from the hospital but continues to have health problems. We want to hold Dave Cameron in our prayers as he is at Ohio State Hospital undergoing tests. Bob Smith continues under hospice care. And Eric Fredrickson reports that he had a good week this past week and is awaiting test results. Let us begin our prayer with a moment of silence. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, a realm where all peoples, nations, and languages could serve him. And so we ask that you make us faithful followers of our living Lord, that we may always hear his word, follow his teachings, and live in his spirit. Almighty and everlasting God, it is your will to restore all things to Christ, to whom you have anointed priest forever and ruler of creation. We ask that you hasten the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to your eternal glory. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of Christ, who lives and reigns forever. O Lord of the harvest, send us into your vineyard as faithful workers. Free us from all idleness and envy. Let your grace be sufficient for all who are weak. The things, good Lord, that we pray for, give us the grace to labor for as well. The things that human labor cannot achieve, we ask that you provide by your grace alone, until your kingdom is fully established on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, as a church, we come to you in prayer. As a church, we offer our prayers on behalf of those in our community who are in need of your blessings. We ask that you reach out and surround those we have mentioned out loud and those we have mentioned in our hearts. Surround them with your love. Bless them with the reassurance of your presence. Give them the strength to face the day that is coming. May your love surround each and one of these whom we have presented before you, and may we be blessed by the circle of your love as well. In the power of the Holy Spirit, guided by your Son Jesus, we pray these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the blessings of God be upon you this day. And may you know that God is with you in this moment and the moments to come and the days and weeks and years. For God loves you and cares for you. Amen.